we're talking just a phenomenal life there. I haven't confirmed the driving, so I don't want to jump onto that. Okay. Trevor came to me during the worship now and mentioned that they'd been praying for his daughter. She's got a lump in the breast, and they got a report that they've been praying and trusting God, and it's gone. So she's healed. They heard this week. And praise God. Praise God. And I believe there's some other testimony as well. And as a result of what happened, Jill, this morning, I want to encourage you, test what you prayed for and keep praying and keep trusting God for breakthrough. Amen? Yes. This is a supernatural gospel. Amen. We're not here on a Sunday morning just to have a memorial service. I'm not here to tell you how wonderful Paul was and how wonderful Peter were and how wonderful Jesus was back in Galilee when he tiptoed through the tulips and walked as the bearded man with sandals. I'm here to tell you he's alive and well on planet Earth. And Holy Spirit is here still enforcing the same victory, enforcing the same word that Jesus speaks. And he's ruling in heaven right now. He's not only in the present, he's in your future. And he's in our whole life, past, present, and future. And he knows what's going on with you right now. Amen? Let's keep trusting God for supernatural breakthrough, signs and wonders. And then also Easter morning. It's a good time. A lot of people only go to church Christmas, Easter. So if you're not one of those who've got a house to go and look after down the coast, for Easter, it's a good opportunity to invite your friends to church. We'll preach the gospel. I want to just talk about how wonderful Jesus is on Friday morning. We'll have a glorious communion service on the Friday morning. And then the Sunday morning, I want to preach on what has become my best theme in the study of Romans we've been doing over the last few months. I want to just unpack that a little bit. It's a victorious message. And it will be suitable for people that you invite. It will be understandable and it contains the gospel. But having studied and being in the study of this book of Romans over the last few months, this is a passage, the chapter that I think most endears itself to me. And you're thinking, but we thought that was chapter 8, Steve. You've been preaching that for 3 weeks. Well, it's hard to grade them. But no, it's not that chapter. And now you're saying, well, what chapter it is? Well, see you on Sunday morning. Just want to welcome Easter Sunday morning, surely. In fact, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We've been looking in the book. What a powerful message. This Epistle to the Romans contains. We've looked at some of the background setting as to the reason and the purpose of the writing. And now we've just been going through chapter by chapter and unpacking some of these things. But we got to chapter 8 and we found out that the Holy Spirit has spoken about 17 of the 27 times that Romans mentions the Holy Spirit. So this is a good chapter to camp out a little bit. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. So you're going to make me work very hard. Come on, man. Romans chapter 8 is sort of the climax of 8 chapters of him unpacking the gospel to make clear to the Jews and Gentiles before he gets to the issue of addressing the central problem. He just wanted to make sure they understood this glorious gospel, and he can't finish up talking just about the essence of the gospel without getting to the person of the Holy Spirit. And he does so in chapter 8. And in verse 26 it says, and I'm going to ask the guys, just jump around the verses with me. I'm in the NIV. We're going to read from verse 26 to verse 27. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, say weaknesses, see, us, some of us, our weaknesses, not other people's weaknesses, your challenges, your hardship. He's just spoken earlier on about the suffering that's not to be compared with the future glory. But there's a suffering there. There's some difficult, some challenge, some weakness that we experience from time to time. But he says, don't focus on the weakness. Focus on the Spirit who enables you in your weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we're not left as orphans. We're not left to figure out this Christian life in our own strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even now, Holy Spirit, will you come and cause these words to burn in our hearts? That we know we're not alone. That we know we're not trying to figure out this Christian life. We're not here to overcome weaknesses and hardship and challenge in our own ability. But we are connected to the power source that prays right into the holiest of holies. Through the Holy Spirit, we engage heaven to show its power on our earth and in our situation. God sees what's going on. And he releases his authority. Look last week a little bit about how this relates to the prayer of faith in Abraham in chapter 4. How that, I believe, is speaking very clearly about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Because that's the one area of prayer where our spirit is praying, not our understanding. Thank you. You can put it off when I'm in between verses. Our mind is not engaged at an understanding level, but our spirit is engaged at a spirit level. And that's very important, because it's good to pray with the understanding. It's good to pray with the mind. Paul had written about that in Corinthians 12, 13, 14. They had this epistle in Rome. He didn't need to repeat it. He just touches the headlines. They knew what he was talking about. He who prays in a spirit is not praying to man, but he's praying to God. So there's an energy being released. We're praying according to the will of God. And last week, we just looked a little bit about how the prayer of faith works. Abraham had a promise from God. Say promise. He then had to face the facts that some of the stuff didn't turn out the way he wanted to. And there were some major obstacles. But it says he never grew weak, but persevered in his faith. I've got some homework for you. Maybe you want to write this down if you're taking notes. If you haven't got a pen and paper, you can put it on your phone. I want you to ask the Lord for 5 promises in your life, in the areas of your family, in the areas of your business, in the areas of this local church, in the area of kids, did I say that? Or the 5 main areas of your life. Ask him to give you a prophetic promise that you can speak, like Abraham would speak in the situation. God has made me the father of nations. I don't see it right now. My wife's barren. I'm like over the hill. I'm older than Terry's mom. And I, in the natural, this looks impossible. But he spoke the promise, but then he faced the facts. I tell you, you want to pray the prayer of faith? Get praying in the Holy Spirit. Get in agreement with the prayers of the Holy Spirit. Stop praying in tongues. We looked at that last week. How that you speak the promise of God out, and then you just start praying in the Spirit over it. So I'm speaking. Lord, I am delighted over how well my children are doing in the call of God on their life. And I just start praying in the Spirit over that prophetic word. And while I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm aware of facing the facts. I'm aware some things maybe don't look exactly like. God, thank you that you said you will provide for me in my old age. That Janet and I are going to still be ministering for you and sharing this glorious gospel in 40 years, God willing, from now. And I'm praying in the Spirit. And then some facts come to mind, you know. Like 40 years is a long time. Like, you know, things are challenging in the world. Not just in this country, but all over the world. We don't know what it's going to look like in 40 years' time. So our minds can start getting flooded, but we can face the facts. We don't deny the facts. We don't bury our head in the ground and pretend they're not there. They are there, but we're not moved by those things. We're not becoming disheartened. We're becoming very bold. Because while we're praying in the Spirit, there's a different energy that's engaging heaven, and it's praying a prayer that you and I, in the natural, our understanding would interfere and complicate. Now, it's good to pray in the understanding. Times for that. but only after 10,000 words in tongues have I got 5 intelligible words to speak. In other words, make sure the below the water iceberg is carrying a lot more punch and a lot more impact. So what comes out of my mouth is inspired. You see, Abraham spoke the promises, but then he faced the facts. So I want you to write down these 5 promises in your life. Write them down. When you speak them out with an exclamation mark at the end. But when you face the facts, it must be like eight. Is 8 the smallest font? So your promises are in like 36 bold capital letters. But facing the facts is like 8 cursive small. And been praying in tongues is 36 bold capitals faith in God. What I'm telling you this morning will change your life. Thanks for Bill. That's going to change your life because you agreed with that this morning. I want to tell you, when you hear the promises of God for your life and you begin praying in the Spirit, groaning with words that your mind doesn't fully understand, but you start engaging God with 10,000 words in the Spirit and facing the facts at a minuscule comparison, but still facing the facts, I want to tell you, heaven's resources are working on your side. Heaven's resources are being released over you and me. Now, I'm supposed to preach this week's sermon, not last week's sermon. So, all right. Picture with me. Paul is writing this letter now to these Roman believers. He's never been there. He wants to go there on the way to Spain to go to a new mission field. He's writing because there's some division in the church around Jews and Gentile issues. He unpacks the gospel in a means of saying, hey, come on, guys, we are on the same side. And then he gets to this climax of these first 8 chapters, and he starts speaking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that don't get your minds focused on what the flesh wants, because you're going to move in the direction of your dominant thoughts. And if you're always thinking about natural things, you're moving that way. Start learning to think about what the Spirit wants, what the new man in Christ wants. And he says we have sufferings and we have weaknesses. And now he speaks about engaging the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he launches into these 4 promises to finish up chapter 8. We know that God works all things together for the good for those who love. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. It's like he's almost preached himself up into a frenzy. He's preached himself really happy. You know, preachers can get like that. You never noticed? You know, you someone preach the word, everyone goes home. I think you're the most blessed, because as you were unpacking it, it became a revelation for you. I think he's writing here, he just got so much revelation in the Holy Spirit. By the time he gets to the end of chapter 8, he's like, oh man, nothing's going to separate you. Oh, if God is for you, who can be against you? You more than conquerors through Jesus. He's like, ah. He hasn't even got to the real issue yet. We'll pick that up in the next 2 chapters, a little bit more sobering and boring in a sense. But for now, he's just enjoying the moment. But he's on sabbatical. Maybe that's why he's happy. He's on sabbatical. He's just finished his 2 missionary journeys. He's on his 3rd one. Now he's going back to Jerusalem. He has a break in Corinth. And he's writing this to this Roman church he's going to visit. I tell you all that to show you in Paul's journey where he's just come from. Okay? And we pick up this in Acts chapter 19. We're going to look at, it's about 1 year now, Acts chapter 19, where Paul is on this journey, his 3rd missionary journey, and he's coming through this place called Ephesus. This is about 1 year before he writes the letter, the epistle to the Romans, okay? Just to put you in a time frame. I want to show you a little bit what's going on in Paul's mind at this stage of the season of his life. read about all these missionary journeys and all this exciting going on, but listen to this. Verse 1. Apollos was in Corinth. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told that people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12. So here we got a situation that these people had heard and believed this wonderful message. Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, Jesus' ascension. They loved this message. John's baptism confirmed this. The going in the water, groot doop, in and out. You know, it confirmed Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But that kind of stopped growing there because they didn't have the internet and they didn't have email and they couldn't go off to the next conference. They stuck with the revelation they had. But these were believers. But they were believers living below their full privileges. So Paul then would have explained to them who the Holy Spirit is. The promise that God made in the old covenant in Joel: "In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh." The promise that Jesus picked up in his earthly ministry when he said, "I'm going to send one to be with you who's greater than I am," in the sense of his scope and the width of where he could be. He's with you, but he will be in you. "But wait in Jerusalem and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll be my witnesses." And while they were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came. I'm sure Paul would have shared some of this stuff with them. And he prays for them, and while he's praying for them, the Bible says they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, when did we get the Holy Spirit? When we got born again, or when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit? When we got born again, you received the Spirit, or else you couldn't be a child of God. You couldn't be a believer. But there's clearly another time in our life, maybe as a result of spiritual hunger, maybe as a result of circumstances, maybe the result of just being out of our league, and we're saying, God, I need to be empowered. I need to be empowered for whatever situation is. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit in praying with other tongues. So we receive the Holy Spirit when we're born again. We go to the well and we drink. But there's something about the baptism. It's like jumping in a river out of your depth. I like when Rodney Howard Brown explained, I remember in the early 80s, we're talking about it this morning, this incredible energy that the guy must have had to preach twice a week. "Jonesy, how are you, buddy? Happy birthday." "Hey, Kate." I got distracted there, but I was thinking about Rodney Howard Brown. I thought of you. But he's on the road now, or Rodney, preaching twice a day, 6 days a week. I mean, it's just, and each service is like 5 hours. I mean, we were talking about it this morning. That you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit for that. And he spoke about the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit and the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And the omnipresence is like there's moisture in the air and you see the clouds from a distance. But the manifest presence is when those clouds open up over you and it rains. It's the same moisture, different manifestation. Receiving the Holy Spirit when you're born again, you're in the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. But there's something manifest. There's something of a manifest presence that's revealed in a baptism. And this is what happens. It's very similar to what actually happened when Peter was preaching. Just jump in Acts a little bit earlier, a couple of chapters earlier to chapter 10. And we'll see a similar thing happening in the ministry of Peter. Remember, Peter was called to the Jews as Paul was called to the Gentiles, and Peter now gets called over by Cornelius and a couple of the guys, and he's preaching the gospel to a group of Gentiles, and he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So Peter's preaching the gospel here, explaining who Jesus is. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by their people, but only witnessed. So he's preaching the gospel here, and down in verse 44 it says, while Peter was still speaking, say while he was speaking, while he was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcision-sized believers, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And how did they know that the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles? Verse 46, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter had firsthand experience on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. He expected it. He was desirous to see this happen in people's lives. But he didn't even get the chance to lay hands on them because it just happened supernaturally. Isn't that great when things just happen like that? But we see with Paul, he laid hands on them. So which is it? Not or is? Well, it can be both. Some people receive one way, some people receive another way. But speaking in tongues is actually a big deal. And it really is important for our spiritual life and our spiritual adventure in God of seeing His kingdom being demonstrated. It's not just a little add-on, maybe extra. It's something we should pursue and desire. Well, if I haven't spoken in tongues, does that mean I've still been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know, because I hope so. Usually the two go together. It doesn't say they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. Except, well, one case it does. Or they baptized in the Holy Spirit and then had a word of knowledge. Or they baptized in the Holy Spirit and they heard a word of wisdom or gifts of healings. Those things are all the works of the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the one that's mentioned is this praying in tongues. And I believe it's because it's like the gateway door into the operation of these other gifts. So we looked at that 2 weeks ago. That 10,000 words in private, 5 words in the public. But they're words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of revelation, words of prophecy. Those words come out of a place of having engaged and been praying continually and praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. I have no idea what the time is. Okay, clock's gone, so you're at my mercy this morning. Now I see people moving. I start thinking it's like 11 o'clock already. Okay, I still got 10 minutes. Great. Do I need to speak in tongues? Thank you. All right, let's close our Bibles. I don't have to prove this case now. It's settled. So we see that in Corinthians 14, it's the doorway gift into the other gifts. Praying in the understanding, praying in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, we see that even out of ordinary Christian suffering and hardship we're going through and some of our weaknesses, there's a praying in the Spirit. I think the most important question here is, we should want everything He's got for us. I mean, if God thought it good enough to give those believers what they needed in their situation, then we should live wanting everything God's got for us. I mean, come on. Don't you want your money's worth? It's like that when you take your kids to Disney. I mean, when they were this big, we had the opportunity of taking our kids to Disney, and they want everything because it's all free. So let's eat and be merry and do as much as we can. Because you know that feeling? Come on, don't look at me all spiritual. Now, I know some of you go to a buffet and you don't eat for 2 days. And you run around the block before you get there. No one in this church. I know we're all respectable and common. No one goes to a buffet and has a salad. No one goes to a buffet and has like a little rib and half a chicken bone. You kind of want what you can get. I mean, there's a bit of that in all of us. Now, I think spiritually, we need to also build up an appetite that says, if God's got something for me, I want what He's got for me. If God thinks it's a good idea for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If God thinks it's a good idea for me to pray in other tongues and the Spirit enables me, I think that's a good idea. And to prophesy, and to bring a word of knowledge, and to bring a word of revelation. Because it's only as we engage in a supernatural realm, we'll get supernatural results. While we're operating at a natural level of wisdom and a natural level of understanding and prayer, we will get natural, normal results. But what the church has to demonstrate is supernatural. So the question is, do you want everything that He's got for you? Well, there's a banqueting table set for you and I. You can begin to experience everything God has got for you. Kareen gave me a DVD last week. She said, this is going to really excite you because guess what Joseph Prince has been doing? He's been listening to our website, so he's also speaking in tongues. And she gave me a DVD I listened to, which was very encouraging. But there's one illustration he brings out. Did any of you ever read Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragon? Kind of old book. Some of us haven't read it. But she went to Hong Kong into the heroin addict part of the slums of Hong Kong and had an incredible passion to see these addicts delivered and transformed. And she kind of struggled and did all the things she knew to do. But she got to a stage where she just said, God, it's got to be supernatural. And God showed her this thing of praying in tongues. That she needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And the people she gets off heroin, she's got to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. Because the success rate was too low. It's like, who wants to give up your whole life helping addicts with a 5% pass rate? And she was desperate. And according to her book, it's many years ago, I read it, so I don't have all the facts. But I remember it like jumped up to like 80%. Success rate amongst heroin addicts that got baptized in the Holy Spirit and were praying in other tongues. She says if she could get them baptized in the Holy Spirit, she knew she didn't have to watch them 24/7 anymore. There was just something of the supernatural that her ministry into that drug-infected community needed. You might not be working in the Bronx of Hong Kong. You might not be working amongst the addicts of addicts. But let me tell you, whatever you're in right now is not, praying in the Spirit is not just for you, it's for those you're praying for. Yes, you are edified in the process, the Bible says, but it's more than just about our personal edification. Because when we're not praying in the Spirit, we're relying on what we know and don't know. But the Holy Spirit is not limited by what you know and don't know. He's unlimited. And when you cooperate through praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit, you are releasing stuff around you that your physical eye is not even seeing. And you will have an 80% breakthrough where you've only had a 5% breakthrough. If there's been an addiction you've been struggling with, if there's been a crisis you've been struggling with, if it affects you personally, I want to tell you, we don't have to live with 5%. Come on now. In our weakness, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit comes and prays according to the will of God. Groans that words cannot express. I think when he wrote this, what had just happened in Ephesus was still fresh in his mind. And he saw the transformation. It was such a revival that happened in Ephesus that he ended up spending 2.5 years there. A lot of other places he just went. There was such a revival. So when he's writing about these things, it's because it was happening and they were experiencing it. Do you want what God's got for you? Last scripture. John chapter 7. Let's hear what Jesus says. John chapter 7, reading from 37 down to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Say, come to me. And drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who belonged to him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. We live after the cross. We live after the time Jesus said that. We live in a time where these promises are available for us. But the same challenge has to be put out. Are you thirsty? Because if you're thirsty, you've got to come. Are you prepared to come? And if you come, drink. Open your mouth and drink. Because those who believe, and I presume you would have had to be a believer to have gone through those first few steps, who wants to get thirsty for something and come if you didn't believe? So I think just our response is the faith we need. Our response is believing, we're coming, we're thirsty. From his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Dave, we're going to have some prayer now. Can you come and help me? I felt this morning God, I want to see signs, follow the word. And I know there's some people thinking, well, maybe this is not really for me. Well, then at least this morning is going to make you hungry. Amen? But there's other people who are saying, I've done this, I've done that, I've tried, but I don't know if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, then it can't hurt just to pray for you. Amen? Come on. We are family here this morning. This is what we do. I have taught about the Holy Spirit, and I want to lay some hands. Is that okay? I saw that in the Bible just now, so I'm pretty comfortable. I want to speak to people who are thirsty, who say, I'm willing to come, believing that rivers can flow. So let's stand up together. Let's stand up. And if you're saying this morning, that's me, I want hands laid on me. I was here, I've been here the last few weeks, and while the word is being preached, it didn't happen to me supernaturally, spontaneously. But this morning, we're going to lay hands on some people. So if that's you right now, and I don't want to prolong this, I want to just say, if you know it's you and you're already saying, please give me an opportunity, then I want to say, come right now. Just come. Come and stand in the front here. We're going to wait. If it's one person, two people, three or five or ten, come right now. And there's some of the leaders standing, and you know you've been prepared for this time right now, because you're going to come and stand with one of these people right now. That's great. So these folk are just standing in the front here, and we're going to have some leaders standing with them, behind them. We're not going to do anything weird. We're just going to do what the Bible says. We're going to pray, lay hands, and then we're going to pray that that river that's inside of you will find expression. Because the Bible says, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Say that with me. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who spoke in other tongues? They spoke in other tongues. What did the Holy Spirit do? He gave them the utterance. So I'm not for saying, you know, say after me. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is, when the words start coming, don't hold back. I want to say to the folk coming out, it took a lot of boldness to step up. Some of you I know, some of you I don't. But Holy Spirit, right now. Church, would you just reach out your hand? Would you just reach out your hand? Let's just pray for a fresh baptism this morning in the lives of men and women. Right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you fall upon those who are thirsty, those who come believing, those who come saying, Lord, I need everything you have for me. I want everything you have for me. I'm not leaving until I receive everything you have for me right now. That's right. Just receive. Receive. Fill. Receive. Power of God. Fill. Now, as the Holy Spirit starts bubbling up inside you, maybe it feels like a river. Church, let's pray with them. Just to encourage them. Those of you who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues, right now begin praying in the Spirit. Begin praying in the Spirit. Sheba kisiya la mashabatasa. Sebe kisiya mate sebere. And we can pray, sing in the Spirit. And then we can sing in understanding. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And then we can pray in understanding. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And then we can pray in tongues. And Pray in the understanding. Pray in the Spirit. And sing in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Fire God. Sing in the Spirit. The guys standing with you are just going to come and pray and encourage you. And the rest of us, as we're just standing, all of us need to be filled. Repetitively. Ongoingly. Even if we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Even if we do pray in tongues. Singing in the Spirit is a beautiful thing. I think it just releases something of the majesty and the glory of God. It brings praise to Him. So as we lift our voices now, just in these last few minutes that we're together, let's begin worshiping God. Tiele pasiere loro cuore la da scere tiele scere pare la pace. Pray that your people would go forth in power, Lord. Pray that your people would go forth with authority. I pray for an increase of boldness and an increase of faith across the church. I pray, Lord, that we would see our mountains tumbling down, that we would see our valleys being raised. We would see the glory of God filling the earth as the waters cover the sea, from the east to the west of the city, from the north to the south of the city. We will see a mighty river flowing, a mighty river of the glory of God. KZN will be transformed by the gospel. Our loved ones, our sons and daughters, will bow the knee to Jesus and be filled with Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our businesses will be prosperous. Our income will be sufficient. We will walk in the prosperity of God all the days of our life. Mary, if you need to receive that this morning, yes, don't Lord. You want to just open up your mouth, yes, in agreement this morning? My God shall supply all my needs according to His glorious riches. I will be saved and my family will be saved. And my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only you.
And I pray that God will bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. And remember, you got homework today in this church. Tell the person next to you, you got homework today. You got to hear from God 5 prophetic words in 5 areas of my life. Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I release wisdom, courage, faith, and boldness as you get with God and hear what He says for your life. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.